We've been talking about faith. Hallelujah. Let's pray and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you that your Word is truth. You said thy Word is truth, Lord. Father, we're so grateful that you've given us truth. We thank you for the wisdom and the grace and the illumination to understand what you say. Father, help us to bring forth your truth tonight and feed our spirits, we pray, with the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we started out in our scripture, which is Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. So that must mean it's pretty important. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11:6. Thank you, Lord. I said, that's something. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe. We must have faith here with us. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must believe or have faith that God is one and the same. We've been talking about faith and believe. They are the same thing. We saw several scriptures on that, James 2:17-20. Faith and belief, one and the same. It's not something different. Faith is what I believe. But we found out that faith was a firm persuasion, didn't we? So, well, let's look that up. I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard too many concrete definitions of faith. A few. We hear, well, it says here in 11:1, now faith is the substance. Well, what is that substance? The substance of your faith is your persuasion. It is what you believe. That is the substance of it. It is the Word of God, which is what we believe. And that's where our faith comes from. We found out Sunday that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we wanted to ask ourselves something. Ask ourselves what? One question. See if we have faith. Do I know, we said, first of all, I'm going to ask myself, how does faith come? And we said that faith, according to Mark 10:17, says that faith comes by, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:34, when she heard, amen, when she heard of Jesus, she began to act. See, she heard and faith began to come. That's Mark 5. Let's read that scripture. We'll go there right now. Mark chapter 5. This is a really good example because she heard something. Mark 5:25-34 is where you see it. But let's go down to verse 27. It says this. Well, let's just start in 25. It says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing better, but rather grew worse. It wasn't looking good. She was probably tired of going to the doctor. She said, I've tried everything. I've spent all my money. Everything's gone. But when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power, virtue, or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched me? His disciples said to him, you see this multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about at her to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." And if her faith, we said, made her whole, our faith can make us whole. And we can know. We said that faith is recognizable. It must be. Because over in Ephesians chapter 6, remember? We look there. And it said, taking. In Ephesians, it's talking about the armor of God. Chapter 6. He's saying that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers. And he says for us to take unto us the whole armor of God, that we would be able to stand in the evil day, verse 13. And having done all to stand, we stand therefore. Having our feet shod, what, with the preparation of peace. And verse 16 said, above all. Verse 16, above all. Taking the shield of faith. So if we've got to take something, we said it must be recognizable. It must be something we can distinguish. We can see it. How am I going to take? I mean, if I'm going to take this water bottle off the platform, if I'm going to take it, I have to know what it is, don't I? I have to be able to see it. I have to recognize it. I have to realize, yes, that is faith. I am firmly persuaded. I'm going to take what I believe, my firm persuasions, and I'm going to protect myself with them. That is what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. He used the word of God. Really, it wasn't at that point offensive. He was defensive. He took the shield of faith. He said, "It is also written, Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." He said, "It is written." This is what he said every time, right? It is written. I am what? Extinguishing every fiery dart that you're throwing at me because it sounds real good, devil. He can make something sound so good. But when we get the word of God, hallelujah, and we recognize, no, this is what I believe. Based upon what God has said, see, that's where our persuasion came from hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. And we said to ourselves, we're asking ourselves, hallelujah, what, you know, do I have faith? How does it come? How do I know I have it? How did I get it? And we said it came by hearing by the word of God. We said if we ask ourselves these two questions, have I heard? And have I accepted as truth what I heard? If I have heard the word of God, and if I accepted it as truth, then faith has come. If we see someone that's not born again, what are we going to tell them? Oh, well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but he'll have everlasting life. If you will, if you can believe, Jesus died on the cross for you. He suffered under the penalty of your sin. He was buried in that tomb. He rose again. And on hearing that, they receive faith to be saved. They say, yes, I need a Savior. Faith comes. We say, yes, oh, I need a Savior. We understand that. And we believe that a person can be saved by hearing one message, right? If I have people here that are unsaved and they hear the message, they could be born again. Yes, God also draws and God works, but he's working with, what is he working with? The word of God. Hallelujah. He works with his word. This very word of God can bring faith into our heart. That's why we need it. We need to get it in us. We need to believe it and say, yes, this is true. The word of God is truth. Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Sanctify them. Set them apart, in other words, with your word. Your word is truth. This is truth. And so when I hear, and we begin to see, and we look there in Acts 19, verse 2, says this. And he said to them, now here's Paul, he's here and he's preaching in Ephesus. They're in Ephesians, he goes to the upper coast, he comes to Ephesus. He finds some disciples of the Lord there, and he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he says unto them, then, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, get that? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, they couldn't receive the Holy Spirit before that. Why? They hadn't heard. They didn't know. You know, I mean, we say hearing. I mean, you know, if someone's deaf, they can read, or they read lips, they hear in some way. You know, when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about, hey, maybe you read it in the Bible and you said, oh, that's true, and you receive. You know, maybe someone spoke it to her, showed it to you. But here they had not heard about the Holy Spirit. But when they heard, faith came and they received. Hallelujah. We said that faith can come quickly. Faith can come easily. If we'll hear and we accept as truth what we hear, faith comes. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Amen. Hallelujah. You said, well, I've got faith, but sometimes we have faith as far as we know. See, some people haven't heard yet. They haven't heard that Jesus is the healer. He will heal you. They've heard he might. They heard he could if he wants to. But they haven't heard he is the healer. And they remain in the place where they are. Because if we do not accept as truth what we hear, then what value does it do us? None, right? I mean, if you go to school, Joseph, and we tell Joseph, now Joseph, listen to me. 1 + 1 = 2. Joseph, no, I don't believe it. Joseph says, no, it's not 2, it's 3. And we could tell him till we're blue in the face, if he doesn't accept that as truth, it will never be true to him. Isn't that true? It'll always be, you know, it'll be, you know, it may be 2. That may be the truth, but it's not to Joe. He didn't have any faith in that because he says, no, I don't accept it. But when we accept it, we say, yes, 1 + 1 = 2. Well, how do you know? The teacher said. That's our first part, right? You know? And what is our truth? God said. Amen. God said. How do you know you're born again? God said, if I call upon the name of Jesus, I'll be saved. God said, if I would confess the Lord Jesus, I am saved. I'm born again. He said that he would bear witness in my heart that I'm a child of God. God said, hallelujah, amen. See, hallelujah. So we've been looking at, you know, these are the things that happen with faith. Faith can come. Hallelujah. It's good news because if we're saying, well, I'm not sure, that's okay because we know that faith can come by what we hear. We just need to get it out and hear. Amen. We can get the word of God out. We can hear again. Oh yeah, that's right, Lord. You know, some of us have forgotten more than most people have even heard. Many believers have heard. I mean, it's true. But that doesn't really make a whole lot of difference if we don't act upon it. Amen. We'll get to that too. But, hallelujah. But tonight, I want us to keep working here because I want us to see. There, Paul was talking to the people. They were saved. They're born again in Acts 19 here. But they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. When they heard, faith came. They received. Hallelujah. They had faith to be saved, but they didn't have any faith to be filled with the Spirit until they heard. Hallelujah. Remember the guy that came to Jesus. Let's go to Mark 1 for a minute real quick. Because this settles a lot of questions for some people. Mark 1, verse 40 and 41. Now here the leper came to Jesus. Verse 40 says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will, notice that, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. In other words, the leper was not certain of the Lord's will. He said, I'm not sure if you will or not. He needed a little bit more information. And Jesus said, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, he touched him, he says unto him, I will be thou clean. And if we're sick in our body, we can know that God, Jesus says, I will, I want you will. Even if we don't seem to feel we're moving in that direction, we can know that Jesus is saying, I want you well. And we can go with confidence, God, I know you want me well. Hallelujah. I mean, just knowing that is a wonderful step in the direction to receiving from our Father. He said, if we ask anything according to his will, we can know that we'll have the petitions that we ask of him. Hallelujah. You know, if you're not sure, if somebody's not sure it's his will, as this leper, they can't go with confidence until they know. We need a little bit more knowledge sometimes. Sometimes we're believing God, but as far as we know, or as far as a person knows, you may need this to help somebody else. Yeah, you're believing God as far as you know. Let me help you. Here's what he said. And here's what he said. And here's what he said. Hallelujah. And faith begins to rise. Glory to God. I remember one lady, I was so excited because she, sometimes people know things or they have heard something. But they've heard it so much, you know, it's kind of just been rote. It became something that's old to them and it wasn't fresh and they haven't said, yes, I accept that as truth. Not really. They have in a way, you know, they believe it's true, kind of. But, you know, we have to really take that and say, yes, God's saying this. Who is speaking? See, our beliefs and our faith are one and the same. Our persuasions and our convictions are formed in our lives in the same way that an unbeliever would form a belief. I mean, when Joe went to school and he learned 1 + 1 = 2, he did learn it. Hallelujah, he finally got it. Maybe the first year he didn't believe it, but now he does. He's come to believe this is true because he could see that one apple and one apple made 2 apples. Hallelujah. And it finally came alive on the inside of him. And it became real. And he accepted it as truth. But in that same way, beliefs are formed. They're formed from an accumulation of knowledge. The difference between the world and us is, where do we get our knowledge? We get our knowledge from the Word of God. And so when we take the Word of God, it begins to bring us knowledge. Just like the man here in Mark 1, this leper, he needed a little bit more knowledge. And Jesus gave him the knowledge he needed so that he may what? Believe. So that his faith began to reach out. He said, oh yeah, okay, you will. Now I know you will. Therefore, I believe you, Jesus. I accept as truth what you have said that you will. And he was made whole. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the moment Jesus had said that to this man, that man, he was whole. Just like that. The moment he received the knowledge he needed, faith began to come. And his belief was being formed. And he said, oh, yes, he is a good master. He's a good God. He will heal me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember the centurion. In Luke 7, 1 through 10. Let's look at Luke 7. Now here's where the centurion, he sent some servants out. At first, he sent the servants to Jesus to find out if he would come and heal his other servant. So Luke 7 verses 1, or starting with verse 1, said, now when he had ended all his saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him. So the centurion sent unto him, to the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. So he says, hey, you guys, go over there, see if Jesus will come and heal my servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, insistently saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. In other words, they're talking about the centurion. Hey, he's a good man, for he loves our nation, and he's built up us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, wasn't too far from the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself. I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Now the centurion, far as we can tell, so far has Jesus actually come in contact with the centurion? Not really. He sent some other people out there. He knows Jesus was coming. He found out, hey, Jesus is willing to come and heal my servant. Now you guys go out there and tell him, don't come under the roof. Don't worry about it. He knew he was a Gentile. He knew he wasn't a Jew. And Jesus isn't supposed to really come under his roof. He was being polite. He was being kind to him, for one thing. He said to them, tell him to speak the word only, and I believe my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man under authority, I understand authority. And if he is willing to come, then I know he came with the authority to heal my servant. You tell him, you stay outside and just speak the word, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. He says, verse 7, whether neither thought I myself worthy to come out unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Now here we see this, they came to him, they asked to see if Jesus would come and heal his servant. And then he sends out the second group of people to tell Jesus to speak the word only. And when the man gained the knowledge that Jesus, that he would come, he had that knowledge and he gained the persuasion, right? He was persuaded that Jesus could speak the word only and his servant would be healed. What caused him to have that belief. It was an accumulation of knowledge. When he realized and he found out Jesus is willing to come. I'm a man under authority. I know he must be a man under authority. Then he can speak that word and my servant will be healed. See, we begin to form beliefs by an accumulation of knowledge. That's what brings us what we really believe. We begin to read the Bible. We see, we gain knowledge, don't we? We gain understanding of who Jesus is, who God is. And so here we see this also when we, let's turn to John chapter 3 for a minute. We see here in the life of Nicodemus. And here, Nicodemus isn't even saved yet. Right? He's not born again. He's under the Jewish customs and law. One of the rulers there. But verse 14, John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And so here's Nicodemus. But he uses the same word here to the sinner. He said, if you believe, what I'm saying, you can be saved. And Nicodemus apparently did. You know, the only difference in this is that we are forming our beliefs from what Jesus says, from what God has said. Hallelujah. But it's the same way that a sinner forms beliefs from what we hear. But we must hear what? The Word of God. So there's two things. There's one side where we are developing or forming our beliefs by hearing what God has said. Then there's another side that we have formed our beliefs, and from our beliefs, we act. We do something. We are able to act upon that word. Hallelujah. So, and sometimes we get so caught up and we see people, they're forming beliefs, and they never sit down to say, what do I believe? Have I believed yet? They keep trying to form a belief, but we don't really come to the place where we recognize, yes, I've accepted that as truth. I have belief. I have faith in me. Hallelujah. You know, we need to do that sometimes. So how do we know when we believe? There's all kinds of answers that people come up with. We've talked about this some before. I've talked about it some. Well, let's look at it. What are some things that people say? Oh, well, I know I believe when I get a revelation. That's good. I mean, revelation comes hopefully from God, but what do they really mean by that? You know, they think, well, some way I just suddenly understand it. Now I believe. Okay. Some say, well, I meditate on it and I think about it and somehow it just finally plops down into my spirit. And these are good ideas and thoughts. But is that really how beliefs are formed? Not really. They're formed from accumulation of knowledge. Now, revelation can be a form of knowledge. This right here is a revelation. It is a revelation of what God has said. He's already said it. It was written down for us to read. Now, you may get some what the Bible says, you know, illumination, in other words, understanding. Amen. I mean, you know, when you get understanding, you know, you begin to, you know, you understand something, then it is yours. I mean, you know, when you go into algebra, all of a sudden you may know 1 plus 1 is 2, but you may not know what A plus B plus C equals 12. Well, how can that be? They've mixed up the alphabet with these numbers now. And so then you have to gain what? Understanding. You have to know what is, you learn some things. You begin to accumulate knowledge. You gain 1 plus 1, you learn that 1 minus 1 is what? 0. None. Okay. And you begin to build. It was one thing. It wasn't, you know, all of a sudden you had this revelation and now I understand algebra. No. It was a process of accumulation of knowledge over the years. Because in the kindergarten and first grade, I learned 1 plus 1 and 2 plus 2 and, you know, and then I learned, you know, 2 minus 1 is 1 and so much minus. Then I learned my, what, times table. Maybe they don't do that anymore, but we had times table. You learned how to multiply and divide, and you had to have all of those things before you moved into what they called algebra, which I didn't do great in. But hallelujah. But I did eventually. It just took me a little longer. Because you have to understand the formula. How does it work? And how many know when you understand, you begin to see how it works? Oh, that's no problem. It's not difficult. At first it might have been difficult, but you get in, how many got into fractions, you know? And you get into decimals, right? Decimal points and all these things. And at first it's kind of, I don't understand. But then once you understood how it works, you could find the answer very easily. Why? Because you learned how to do the problem. You learn by accumulation of knowledge. And you gain the belief now that 10 times 10 is 100. I got that one right. Anyway, so all I need to know is that I've accepted as truth what I believe. You have beliefs in you already. And you can act on what you believe. And we already do anyway. But some beliefs, obviously, that people have, not necessarily you, but, and we may have some too. We learn things or we hear things about God that aren't so. I don't know if any of you have heard, many of you have, I know, but you've heard Gary Carpenter's testimony, how when he was a child, his sister committed suicide. And some people, well-meaning people, they meant well, trying to bring some comfort. Well, God needed another flower up there in his garden. And that wasn't God at all. She needed deliverance from the power of the devil and they didn't know it. You can go to a counselor and they took her. You can talk about your problem and that's all wonderful. But there comes a time when there's things in the spiritual realm that are bigger than you and I, and we better learn our authority. Because these are days and times of change, and I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of people that need some deliverance from things. We had 8 boys sit right here on this front row, give their hearts to Jesus. They came back the next day and told me some things that I never thought of when I was their age. The devil's at work in this world, and he's a liar. And sometimes we can get some help by talking to counselor. I'm not trying to deny that. We can. We can see some things and we need to. And it helps us to control certain behaviors that may have come. I can't cast out the flesh. But there are times it goes beyond that. When someone's continuing to have those thoughts, most of the time I found when someone wants to commit suicide, that's a demon talking to them. Remember, a guy came into the day center one time. He said that to me. And I don't care if they want to fire me. I'm trying to save this man's life. I said, that is a spirit and you need to resist it now. I said, I will take authority over it, but you're going to have to resist this thing. Because that is a demonic force trying to take your life and take you off the planet. And I didn't care if they all heard me, if they want to fire me. I don't care. Because we're talking about somebody's life. I hate that spirit. I do. I really do. I hate that devil. He comes and torments people till they just want to take their own lives. See, he can't even kill you. He can't just come up and kill you. He's got to talk somebody into it. If they listen to him, they form some kind of what? A belief about themselves. What? By accumulation of knowledge, the wrong knowledge. But when we get the knowledge of God, amen. Faith comes and things can happen. You find out, hey, I've got authority over you, devil. Woo! I remember the day I found out I had authority. I got pretty excited. Glory to God, I'm in a war. No wonder I'm having trouble. Bless God, things are going to change in my life. Hallelujah. Good news. See, the Word of God brings good news and brings beliefs. And they're formed by accumulation of knowledge. So through an accumulation of knowledge, beliefs are formed. And we begin to move forward with God. When we believe it's God's will for us, how do we know? It's God's will for us to be made well. He wants us well. How do you know He wants you well? Based upon what God has said. And we've talked about this before a little bit. Because we would say, okay, well, what does the Bible say? We can look under the old covenant. And we say, well, under the old covenant, Exodus 12, they have the Passover lamb. How many remember about the Passover lamb? Yeah, I know you do. They were under the old covenant for a little while, understood a few things. But when we look at it, they were there. God says, take the lamb, put the blood up on the doorposts, put it over the top, put it on each side. Get that lamb. Roast that lamb. Eat it, all of it. If you can't eat it all, burn the rest of it. But do it with your shoes on. Be ready to go. Get ready. And what happened to the people of Israel? There was not one feeble person among them, and they went out of Egypt fully well, totally healed. We're talking approximately 3 million people. Could you imagine out of 3 million, if we gathered 3 million in here tonight, I mean, we would see them obviously out here and we'd be looking out the window as far as we could see and all around. Do you think there'd be a few people that might have some ailments that need to be cured? Amen. Hallelujah. There's not even 3 million in the town here. Okay. And we know there's some people that have some ailments that need to be cured out of our 40,000 too. Thank you, sister. And maybe there's more than that since they came, but we would look and we would say, okay, we see this type in the shadow. See, this is accumulation of knowledge. Secondly, we say, well, what about the actions of Jesus? Jesus ministered, didn't he, to the multitudes. Everywhere we saw just here a minute ago over there in Mark where he ministered to the leper. He showed him what was so and he was healed. Amen. And Jesus went about doing good, the Bible says. healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So we said, well, I know he healed them there at the Passover lamb in the old covenant. I know Jesus in his earthly ministry was doing the miracles. Even John said, all the books in the world may not hold the great things that Jesus has done. All of the things. Now, maybe they didn't have as many books as we do today. But anyway, he was just saying, hey, there are so many. There's so many things that has been listed. See, this is just the, even the Word of God, even what we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's just a synopsis of what Jesus did. These are just the things that God has given us and recorded for us to understand that we can know him and know the Father. Jesus said, I came to show you the Father. Hallelujah. So when we see what Jesus did, we see the will of the Father in action. And as far as I can find, 19 individual cases where people came to Jesus, every single one of them went home well. All of them. Now, some of them, like the man with the leprosy, needed a little bit more knowledge. He helped him. You know, other times when he was going to raise the one girl, you know, they came and so my daughter's sick and Jesus is walking with them. The woman with the issue of blood comes and this and that. And they continue walking and somebody comes with the word. Don't bother the master. She's dead. Jesus said, only believe. Don't stop believing. Only believe. He encouraged him. He gave him then what was necessary. And she was made whole. Every time that any individual came, they received from Jesus. Hallelujah. So we start putting these things. See, that accumulation of knowledge produces our belief that it's God's will for me to be healed, right? We would look then and we said, oh, we saw the actions of Jesus, what he did. And we saw the works of Jesus. He went about doing good. He went about teaching and preaching and healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And said to the man, of course, as we saw in Mark 1, I will. And we start thinking about it. See, and we gain an accumulation of knowledge and that forms that belief on the inside of us to where we are firmly persuaded that what God has said, he is able to do. Hallelujah. How many are glad for knowledge of the Word of God? See, I told you, we got to get this book in us. When we get the Word of God in us, hallelujah, we are unstoppable. The devil cannot stop us. He can try, but how many know? He's going to try to trick us, of course. He uses some of the scriptures, but you know enough because you said, no. Now, wait a minute, devil. I remember what he said to the centurion. I remember what Jesus did and what he said to the woman with the issue of blood. Her faith made her whole. My faith's going to make me whole. I'm telling you, devil, I remember what they did back there in the Old Testament under the shadow when they had the lamb and that was representative of Jesus and they ate of that lamb. I'm eating of Jesus. He lives in me. I know the will of God. I am persuaded and I am forming what I know to be true with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Then we see the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Amen. Surely he bore my sicknesses, carried my pains, by his stripes I'm healed. You know, and we know that took place. We go over to Matthew 8. Hallelujah. This is real strong. This right there in Matthew 8, where he confirmed. He said, this is what is confirming what Isaiah said. He said, right here. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:17. Let's read 16 with it. I like that one too. It said, when even would come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed what? All that were sick. Glory to God. Woohoo. Oh, I remember he healed them all. What? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Where did he say that? Back here in Isaiah 53:4-5. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I'm telling you right now, this is what Isaiah the prophet said, looking ahead to the Christ. Even under the old covenant, they received healing. Now, there's only one thing that really takes place under the new covenant they didn't have in the old, and that's where they got filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't all filled. You know, the priests, the prophets, and the kings were anointed, but not everybody was. You know, they had to go to the temple, and they could feel the presence of God. It would come on them, but it did not live in them. Hallelujah. We got him in us. We've got the great Holy Spirit. You know, we, what? To our dispensation is what? The evidence and the power of praying in other tongues. It is of our age. That's our gift. Hallelujah, we might say. So, well, why is it so prevalent? Why do you make so much of it? Because it's for our time. Hallelujah. It's for now. It is the power of God that came into us. Hallelujah. And then, of course, we look at 1 Peter. Hallelujah, 2:24. Do you know that scripture? Most of you do. Amen. I know you do, but we'll read it anyway. Now, some people will try to, you know, the devil will come up with some things to try to whisk that away too. But it says, who his own self bear sins in his own body on the tree, he did bear sins, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now my Bible references Isaiah 53:4. But see, some people, they tried to make I had a guy, he was telling me not too long ago, well, that's just spiritual healing. I got news for you. I don't know anyone that's ever been spiritually healed. They were recreated. They became a child of God, but they were not healed. Here it is definitely, and when you look this up into the Greek, I learned this from Rick Renner. He's a great Greek scholar. He knows the Greek. He reads the Bible in the Greek. Matter of fact, he's got a lot of the Bible memorized. He doesn't tell you that, but Pastor Dave used to say he's got a photographic memory. I mean, he puts his glasses on, you know, just for you, you know, but he can stand there and he's acting like he's reading. He might not even be open to that passage, but he can read it because he can see it in his mind. And he'll be reading those scriptures. But this scripture, definitely, he's talking about physical healing to your body. He suffered under it. He took it to the cross. Hallelujah. You know, and of course, Psalm 103. What do you say? Forget not all our benefits. Let's go over there real quick. This is good for us. Amen. We've got an accumulation of things. You know, when you go to court, sometimes they may not have every little bitty dot. Right? Sometimes they don't have all the exact proof, but they've got so much evidence, they say by a what? Preponderance of the evidence. There's so much evidence against him, he must be guilty. Maybe they don't have every little bitty thing, but they've got a lot. And how many know? The more evidence against you, the more it is. You're guilty. Well, sir, ma'am, were you over there on Talbot Street at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Oh, apparently you were. I have here on the report, it was 104 to be exact. Is that right? Yes. Did you sign this ticket? Is that your signature here, ma'am? That you were speeding on Talbot Street, you know, and they bring what do they do? They bring the police officer up. Yes, I saw her car. And this was the tag number. Is that your tag number, man? Yes, it is. Okay. You know, and pretty soon you realize I'm guilty. You know, well, we have it on radar. Man. Well, I don't think I was going that fast. Yeah. Well, we have on radar that you were doing, you know, 70 kilometers an hour and the speed limit is 50, you know, and you were at 70 according to our radar. You know, and they said, well, is the radar gun any good? And they said, well, I just had it checked yesterday. It was just checked out. They said it's working perfectly. You say, well, that excuse is out. And so a preponderance, what, of the evidence that was shown. Yes, she must have been there. Yes, they did see her. Yes, she was speeding. Yes, she signed the ticket. Sorry, ma'am, but that is guilty. And they tell you, okay, your fine will be zama zama dollars. Amen. And so we're here and we're seeing by an accumulation of knowledge the truth of what God's will is. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth some of thy diseases. No, it says all of thy diseases, doesn't it? And you say, oh, wait a minute. That's what the devil says, isn't it? Oh, he heals some people, but not you. No, I got news for you, Mr. Devil. The Bible says he heals all of my diseases. You know, not just a few, not just the headache. Amen. We can heal the heart trouble too. And your back problem and your kidneys all at once. All my diseases. Amen. We don't have to settle for half. Praise God. We got the Word of God on it. See, we're getting an accumulation of knowledge. We're understanding. This is the will of God for what? Me. Hallelujah. Is Jesus a respecter of persons? Do you know that scripture? God is no what? Respecter of persons. And we begin to understand something else as well. Because here we go. Who redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want to be like an eagle? You know, the eagles don't fly below the storm, do they? They're not under the rain. They're over the rain. We are over sickness and disease. It's under our feet. Why? Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. What? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Hallelujah. We know that sickness and disease is not a work of God. Why? Because of what Jesus said. It was said about him. Amen. He went about doing good. What? Right? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing what all that were oppressed of the devil. They weren't oppressed of God. You know, you hear all these things. Oh, that was an act of God, really. We understand. I mean, you know, if the weather does something, we know what they're talking about. We're not trying to be stupid. We're not dumb. They're just saying, in other words, it was an accident. It wasn't something anybody could control, you know. And contrary to popular opinion, God's not standing on his throne saying, oh, let the wind kill this one, not that one. He doesn't. He says it was an accident. Why? Because the earth has been already put into action. The earth is groaning for redemption. He said as long as the earth remains, there's going to be summer and winter, springtime, harvest, another spring and fall, hot and cold. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to get hot, and it's going to get cold. There's going to be spring, there's going to be fall. There's going to be summer, there's going to be some winter. And that's the way the earth will be until the end. Now, there may be some extremes in weather. Everybody says, well, it changes. Yeah, weather changes. Been changing for thousands of years. Since the fall of man. And Noah found out what rain was. Amen. And it rained on the earth and things have been changing. But we don't have to fear that. And so everything is not God. Everything that happens to you is not God. Now, it's not all the devil either. Some things happen. How many know? Anybody ever have an accident? Now, we could blame it on him. In a sense, it's on sin. But we live in a fallen world. And we're human. And sometimes it's a human error. Now, can the devil influence somebody? Sure can. He sure can. Gets people drunk sometimes and influences them. That's why you don't. Why do you think they call it spirits? Alcohol. Spirits. You ever see that sign? Spirits. You know, we sell spirits here. In other words, we sell alcohol, which can open you up to demonic forces if you're not careful. I'm saying that on purpose because it's true. Why? Because your senses get dulled. When you drink alcohol, you're not who you think you are. And yeah, it's not just physical. Sometimes it can be spiritual. The enemy can take advantage of you in a stupor state, or somebody else could take advantage of you. That's why the Bible says not to be drunk on wine, where is in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We don't need alcohol. We can go to our closet. We can go to our bedroom. We can stand in our kitchen or wherever we are. And we can go into the closet of our heart, wherever we are. We can say, Father, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. Right now, whatever we feel coming on us doesn't have to control us. And we don't need a substance to control our life. We've got a Father within us. Amen. Hallelujah. We can be free of those things. I know people get hooked on them. And I know for some, you know, they say, well, it's just for fun. I just get drunk for fun because it feels good. Well, it is for a while. The Bible says sin is fun for a while. But after a while, I've found that most people have found that it isn't so much fun anymore. They get stuck. They get bound. They get hooked. And it didn't come because they decided they're going to be an alcoholic. It came because they said, well, one little drink won't hurt. I know a man, he said, I saw that other preacher drink a glass of wine. Must be okay. He had a great ministry, bless his heart. So he decided he'd have a glass of wine. Well, his body wasn't so designed to the glass of wine. He really liked the glass of wine. Thought he'd have another. Ended up becoming an alcoholic. Lost his marriage. Lost his ministry. It took him 20 years to even come close to getting back into his call when God was using him to win millions, thousands of people to Christ. He'd have crusades of thousands, tens of thousands of people. How many lost? And he became broken. It consumed him. Hallelujah. It's good preaching anyway. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that's all right, you know. And if you, you know, if somebody has a glass, you know, you want to have a glass of wine to your dinner, I can't argue with you. You know, the Bible says, okay, you know, you could. But I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. It's not a good idea. I haven't found it, in at least in our world and in our culture, that has done people much good at all. Some cultures, that's what they do. If you go there to preach, I don't expect you, or you go there to visit, I don't expect you to drink wine with them. I really don't. You can explain to people nicely. It doesn't do me any good. I don't do that. I'm not saying you have to. I'm not condemning you if you've done that. Just saying. In our culture, it's not a good testimony, it's not a good witness, and most people don't see you as a good Christian while you're drinking your beer. I just thought I'd put that out there. Hallelujah. And it's, you know, well, brother, I can drink a beer every now and then. Yeah, you can. Do you do a little, you know, do you do a little cocaine here and there too? Oh, I would never do that. Oh, brother, that would be, that just wouldn't be right. Okay. I'll just ask the question, why do you need it? I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not. Really not. Somebody drinks a glass of wine at home with their wife or whatever. And that's what you want to do because you're, you know, you're fine with it. That's fine, but don't let it become a stumbling block to your brother or sister. Don't let it bother somebody else. Amen. All right, so beliefs are formed, we said, by an accumulation of knowledge. And we really aren't asking you to believe anything, are we? That we haven't we can't prove to you and show you from the Word of God. Amen. That healing belongs to you based upon the preponderance of evidence, of knowledge that we receive because of what God has said. I will, Jesus said, behold. Amen. Hallelujah. So, do we believe that God? Hallelujah. So it's something that we're not really able to say, and so we need to realize when we gain knowledge, our beliefs are formed with that knowledge. Whether it comes to salvation, like we said, whether it comes to healing in our body, whether it comes to having faith for authority in your life, using the authority of God. And we gain that by understanding what the Word of God says in those areas, that God will what? Provide for us. How do we know He provides for us? How do you know? Based on what He has said, on what God has promised, and what God has said. The accumulation of that knowledge produces the belief, which produces the, which is the same thing as our faith. And we gain that knowledge, and we allow it to be on the inside of us, and we meditate that knowledge, and that knowledge produces those beliefs, and those beliefs then what? Are able to be acted upon. And we'll talk about that next time. Because there's more to faith than just knowing we have it and knowing how it comes and knowing that, hey, I've got belief in me. Well, what do I do with it? I believe. Now what do I do? Right? Amen. Remember the Philippian jailer? He couldn't believe till he what? Heard. But when he heard, he said, what do I do now to get saved? You have to believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved in your house. Why? Because his house heard. If they didn't hear, they wouldn't have faith to be saved. They preached to the jailer, his whole house. So hallelujah. Accumulation of knowledge. That's where our beliefs come from. And that's what we're doing. And we'll continue to do that, but that's our message tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that your word can produce in us, Father, faith. It can produce in us, Lord, beliefs which can govern our life, which we can act upon, Lord, and we can see answers to the things that we believe. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for it. Amen. Hallelujah.